And now, the Homestead Radio Hour.
Jetzt werden wir ganz albern.
Ich wollte, ich wär ein Huhn, ich hätt nicht viel zu tun. Ich legte vormittags ein Ei und abends wär ich frei. Ich lockte auf der Welt kein Ruhm mehr und kein Geld. Und fände ich das große Los, dann fräse ich es bloß. Ich lockte nie mehr ins Büro, ich wäre dämlich, aber froh. Ich wollte, ich wär ein Huhn, ich hätt nicht viel zu tun. Ich legte täglich nur ein Ei und sonntags auch mal zwei.
Der Mann hat's auf der Welt nicht leicht, das Kämpfen ist sein Zweck. Und hat er endlich was erreicht, nimmt's eine Frau ihm weg.
Er lebt, wenn's hochkommt, 100 Jahre und bringt's bei gutem Start. Und nur wenn er sehr fleißig war, zu einem Rauscher Bart. Ich wollte, ich wär ein Huhn, ich hätt nicht viel zu tun. Ich lockte auf der Welt kein Ruhm mehr und kein Geld. Ich brauchte nie mehr ins Büro.
Und du wärst dämlich,
aber froh. Ich wollte, ich wär ein Huhn, ich hätt nicht viel zu tun. Ich legte täglich nur ein Ei und sonntags auch mal zwei.
Ich wollte, ich wär ein Hahn, dann würde nichts getan. Ich legte überhaupt kein Ei und wär die ganze Woche frei. Dann lockt mich auf der Welt kein Ruhm mehr und kein Geld. Ich setz mich in den Mist hinein und sing für mich allein. Ich ginge nie mehr ins Büro, denn was ich brauche, krieg ich so. Ich wollte, ich wär ein Hahn, dann würde nichts getan. Ich würd mit meinen Hühnern gehen, das wäre wunderschön.
The comedian harmonist there from Germany with Ich wohl, ich war ein Huhn. I wish I were a hen, don't we all? Well, this is the first ever edition of the Homestead Radio Hour, a new program focusing on backyard farming and urban homesteading for those who wish to be as self-sufficient as possible without large amounts of land or time.
And we should tell you a little about ourselves before we begin. You know, what business do we have telling you what to do on your in your yard? We are Phyllis and Julia Bornakis Harper, owner-operators of the Bornakis Harper Ranch in Auburn, which has been around since 1918. So we've dabbled here and there.
Third and fourth generation farmers.
And we have actually done a lot of small-scale farming. We're not a huge conglomerate, and we can adapt what we do to your own backyards and try and help you out to live a more sustainable life.
Absolutely. We've had chickens for about 3 years now. You had them when you were little, right?
I did, yes.
And now we have a small chicken coop and pen and some extremely happy birds. So we'll be sharing with you today how you, too, can bring chickens into your own backyard, which is something that may at first sound a little crazy, a little intimidating, a little complicated, but it's really not.
If you look around your neighborhood, you'll see more chickens than you realize. In our own neighborhood, we have, I think, five or six our road that have backyard, real backyard chickens in small pots.
And this is within the city of Auburn, so.
And it's a rewarding thing to do, and today we're going to try and fill you in on how you, too, can have backyard chickens.
So we'll start things out with a little to-do list for what's happening in the garden right now at this time of year. It's still officially winter. It's raining, but, of course, garden doesn't stop year-round. And right now you can be planting kale, chard, lettuce, carrots, radishes.
You should, if you have fruit trees, you should be finishing your pruning.
As well as grapevines. And there are pruning clinics in the area. And, of course, it's always easiest with these kinds of things to learn from someone else. So if you have any friends with fruit trees and you're not sure what to do with your own, by all means do ask or check with your local nursery.
Local nurseries often have pruning clinics at this time of year. And you should also be dormant spraying your fruit trees. This is the time to put on that oil spray to keep the bugs down.
And that is organic. There are organic oil sprays available. And how they work, they'll smother larvae like the codling moth, eggs, things that later in the season can be a big problem with your fruit and require heavier-handed treatments. This is also foraging season. We had mustard greens for lunch yesterday, which were absolutely delicious, with a little bread and cheese and olives on the side. Miner's lettuce, I'm sure you've seen in abundance growing along the sides of the roads. Dandelion greens, wild fennel, mushrooms, if you know what you're doing. Which, it's a learning curve, but it is interesting. And foraging is really fun because it's a great way to get in touch with the land around you and pay more attention to your environment and your surroundings.
And this is also the time to start making your raised beds, and soon it'll be time to get those seeds in, as well as planting your cover crops and improving your soil.
That's right. Time to be planning your summer garden, look through those seed catalogs, and get a game plan in place for as soon as the weather's warm enough to really start planting.
This little portion of the show that we just did, we're calling Garden Club, and it's going to be a feature that will tell you each month what you're supposed to be doing in your garden at this time and what you should be doing. Before we move on to our main subject, which this week is
backyard chicken keeping on a small, flexible scale. And chickens are such fun because they can really fit in with whatever size garden you have, whatever area, however much time commitment you want to put into it.
But you might be asking yourself, why do I want chickens? There are a number of reasons, beginning with the fact that you will have the most wonderful pets you can imagine. We did not realize before we got chickens how much personality chickens have.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
There's such a prejudice against them because they're kind of stereotyped as these dumb little animals that don't have any sense in their heads, but that's not at all the case. They're very clever, they're funny, they're friendly and sweet, and we spend crazy amounts of time just standing outside watching the chickens.
They're very entertaining, but more importantly than that, of course, the issues now with food safety. You're going to get the most wonderful eggs you've ever eaten in abundance, that you know where they came from, you know how fresh they are, and believe me, till you've had a freshly laid egg, you haven't had an egg.
Too true, yes. They're also much healthier than the ones you get from the store from commercial farming operations. Free-range eggs have, on average, 1/3 less cholesterol, 1/4 less saturated fat, 2/3 more vitamin A, at least 2 to 3 times omega-3 fatty acids of regular commercially farmed eggs, 3 times more vitamin E, and 7 times more beta-carotene.
And eggs are not the villainous food that they were thought of until recently. Now, I think most authorities agree that you can eat 5 eggs a week with no problems at all.
An egg a day, I think, is a common rule of thumb.
Yeah.
If you're a baker, also, they are fantastic for baking. Nothing beats homegrown eggs.
Your cakes will rise twice as high. So, you're thinking, okay, maybe I want to do this. Well, I don't know anything about chickens. Well, we're here to tell you how to do it. Starting with...
Well, let's start with our friendly rooster, Timmy here, and Techno Chicken. We'll be right back.
Bye.
Boy, Techno Chicken is just the greatest. We'll have to have the video for this up someplace online. You can check it out because it is
fabulous,
just too cute. She dances.
And sings. Okay, so you've decided that you want to get some chickens. There are some things you have to think about first. Yes, you can have backyard chickens, but you do need a certain amount of space to have them. I mean, you don't want them right next to your house. You don't want them right next to your neighbor's house.
That's right. And in order to be happy chickens, they do need a little space to run around and play and forage and scratch.
And the first thing you need to do is to contact your local government, if you live within a city limits particularly, and find out what the codes are regarding backyard animals. In Auburn, I know, for example, you can have 5 chickens, no roosters. You have to have a certain distance from your fence line for your coop. And the coop has to be built to certain specifications, but they're not
nothing
detailed
too
or serious. It's just, you know, that it has to be an enclosure for your animals. You have to be able to keep them penned up at night, most likely, you will find.
Generally, the regulations tend to make sure that these aren't nuisance animals in the neighborhood and just keep everybody happy and on good neighborly terms.
And that's the reason for no roosters, because, of course, they make a lot of noise. And you might talk to your neighbors before you get chickens because, you know, people are sensitive. And it always helps if you offer them some eggs.
Absolutely. Nobody can turn down fresh homegrown eggs.
Right. So if you offer to share, it might soften them up a bit. So the first thing you're going to do after you find out how you have to deal with these chickens, and most cities do allow them. We haven't heard of any that don't, have we?
No, I think Sacramento, there were some issues.
There are issues, yeah.
There are campaigns, citizen campaigns, to allow chickens within the city and to relax those ordinances, which is pretty cool because that indicates that backyard chicken keeping is gaining popularity.
And you may have read letters in the paper. I know in the Auburn Journal recently there were a lot of letters regarding chickens, but that was actually in the county. They were having some issues.
These regulations do change, so it's always a good idea to check and find out what the most current ones are before purchasing your chicks.
And don't purchase the chicks until you are ready for them. That means starting by planning and building a coop.
That's right. Chicken coops vary tremendously in styles and design. There are mobile coops, little plastic coops called igloos, which look exactly like they sound and are very cute, large coops, small coops, but there are some considerations that you'll want to think about when building and designing or purchasing a coop. Of course, the main purpose is to protect your chickens from predators and shelter them from the climate. So you'll need to fence them in somehow, and that 1-inch chicken wire with the little hexagonal openings is really not efficient against predators such as raccoons. They can reach through it. They can tear it right apart if it's just stapled into wood. So we recommend 1/4-inch or 1/2-inch hardware cloth, which you can find at just about any hardware store. It's a heavy 1/2-inch square mesh that will keep your chickens quite safe. And make sure you attach it sturdily with wood staples, not just regular household staples or anything that a predator could potentially pull out.
And
those
little
guys are strong.
You want to have it tight to the ground because predators can dig under, especially
foxes, dogs,
raccoons. And it should be small enough so that the chickens can't poke their heads through it because
they're extremely curious. That's one of the problems with raccoons. Sometimes if they hear a little scratching sound, they'll, of course, go over to investigate. And if they stick their heads through the wire, then obviously they are, ha-ha, sitting ducks.
Sitting chickens.
You may also want to cover your pen, if you have an outdoor pen for the chickens, with a lightweight netting of some sort, like the deer netting that you can get at a nursery, and that will protect them from hawks and flying predators, as well as discouraging other climbing things from climbing over the fence.
This sounds daunting when you start talking about all the predators and everything, but the coop is really a very simple thing. It can be a 5-walled shelter, you know.
That's right.
Ceiling,
if you have a woodshed existing or a small barn of some sort, you could even fence off a small area of that with chicken poultry fencing or the 1/4-inch, 1/2-inch hardware cloth to keep your chickens inside that. But they really do need to be warm and safe, and those are the main considerations.
They need a place to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. So for that, you'll want to have a roost for them. I think inch and a half branches or dowels are what is usually recommended for chickens to sit on because, strangely enough, they like to stand all night. They will perch on a roost and just keep each other warm and balanced there. So when they're sleeping, they're helpless. You can pick them up, you can touch them.
It's like they're hypnotized.
Exactly, they won't run away, and that's why it's so important to make sure your chickens are safe, especially at night. We do have a coop tour online of our chicken coop. We've posted some photos. And ours we got secondhand from a good friend's backyard. They weren't using it. The former residents of the house had built this chicken coop, and they must have had chickens before because there are so many clever little design details that we would never have thought of. So to share that with you, we have some photos posted, and you can visit bhranch.blogspot.com. We will also have a program page on KVMR's site very soon.
Our coop is really rather luxurious. We wouldn't have built it that fancily, I don't think, but it's turned out
no.
to work really well for us.
And one of the cleverest things about it is that it's tall enough to stand up in. You think chickens, oh, they're pretty small. They don't need much headroom. But you
but
sure
do
when you're cleaning the coop, when you're in there at night gathering the eggs and counting the chickens to make sure they're all in. It is really nice not to have to be crawling on your knees to get inside and to be able to stand up like a human should.
Right. But the point is that you can build a very simple coop. You can purchase a ready-made simple coop. There are many ways to do it. Don't be scared off by the fact that you've got to have the thing in the first place.
And we'll have some resources online, which we'll talk about more later in the program if you're interested in building your own coop or purchasing one ready-made. Now, another feature that a coop needs to have are some boxes for the hens to lay eggs in. These generally need to be dark, private, comfortable. They like to have a place away from all the fuss and bustle to lay their eggs. So, of course, you will also want to be able to get to the eggs easily, and our coop has outdoor access, so we don't have to go inside to get the eggs, which is really nice. But I remember hearing one story about someone whose chickens had taken up residence in an old abandoned car out in the field. The windows and the windshield were missing, so the chickens would hop inside, they'd go into the trunk, and they'd actually lay their eggs in the trunk where it was dark and private, and then the owner would come by, open the trunk, and take the eggs out every day. So chicken coops can be pretty varied in style, and really what it comes down to is, again, just having a safe place for them to lay their eggs, to sleep at night, and to feel comfortable and at home.
With a door that can be locked. Should be easy for you to stand up in to clean it, because you're going to need to do that. And built-in storage is a nice thing, too, if you can keep your food separate. We have a separate little compartment in ours where we lock up the scratch and the food, which makes
tools,
it very nice,
like
and
that.
It's protected from rats and mice.
Very handy, because you don't want to have to load up the wheelbarrow every time you want to clean the coop or take some feed to the chickens. So a rat-proof, mice-proof little storage cabinet is a really handy addition. And then for the floor of your coop, you can build it either directly on the ground and rake out all the manure, or you can have it raised up. Ours has, for example, under the roof, it's lined with chicken wire, so all the litter just falls through and we rake it out from underneath the house, which works very well. But you'll want to line the floor with some kind of shavings or straw that make it easier to clean and keep the chickens' feet nice and clean and dry.
Okay. Before we move on to the outdoor parameters of your pen, I notice we're getting phone calls. We can't answer them right now because we're talking, but we'll make a little space at the end of the program.
Absolutely.
And have a little musical interlude where you can call in. So if you want to hold off until then, we would love to take your calls. Outside of the coop, the chickens are going to need some place to roam because you want them to be able to get out and peck in the yard and that sort of thing.
That's part of the advantage of having home chickens, is that they can go outdoors, they can forage. This makes their eggs much more nutritious, makes the birds much happier, and they can even be an asset. They can be your composting system, they can take care of your garden, eat the bugs, eat the weeds. They're really handy creatures for a variety of reasons, in addition to fun and productive pets.
They are, but they're also slightly destructive. They love to dig.
They don't understand boundaries.
No, they don't. So you will want to keep them confined to certain areas of your yard, most likely. And the easiest way to do that is to arrange for some movable fencing. It's nice to be able to move their little habitat so that, you know, they have fresh things to pick out all the time. You can either do this, or you can buy movable fencing that you just poke into the ground. They don't need much to keep them contained. Even those little flower border fences work if you want to keep them in a small space.
I think about 4 feet high is a good height,
best,
four or
yeah.
5 feet, because especially with the smaller breeds, they can fly. So if they really want to get out, they may be able to. But if you have enough for them to do inside their pen, they should be just fine.
And they're happy being confined. They don't need very much space. I mean,
not
by confined, I mean inside a fence. You don't have to worry about letting them out to free roam in your yard and getting into the street and that
sort of thing.
Of course,
they'll be thrilled if you let them. And I know there are some people down the street from us who have 4 or 5 chickens and a mallard duck. And they'll be down there on the side of the road grazing away and just having a great time. But our chickens run loose in our orchard, and that's especially good because they also help eat all the bugs that can harm the pear trees and the apple trees. But a small run is quite adequate for 6 chickens.
A chicken requires about how much space per chicken? I don't remember the...
In the house, I think it's an average of 2 to 10 square feet. It really depends on how active your birds are. If they're getting outdoors, they'll need less indoor space. But really, they'll be happy with just about anything you can give them. And you can tell if they're happy in their environment. If they feel crowded, they'll let you know.
But, you know, they're very social, and they have a group habit. They, even when they're out in our orchard where they have 10 acres to roam on, they stick in a little group.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll find that they, you know, they like to be together. That's the space issue with them. They want to see each other and be close, so they don't need a lot of room.
It's that comfort in numbers. So once you've built your coop and planned out where these chickens are going to live, it's time for the really fun part, getting some chicks.
Oh, yeah. And how do you get chicks? Well, our recommendation is that you do not take the chicks that your friend the kindergarten teacher laid in his classroom.
Well, that's okay if you don't mind dealing with half of them being roosters, because there's no way you can have a dozen roosters in your yard. One rooster may be pushing it, especially if you live within the city.
Well,
limits.
You cannot have roosters in the city, so you'd have to dispose of them, and that's not fun. And also, mail order is not a really good idea for a beginner.
You usually have to buy several dozen chicks, at least, because they need to keep each other warm in the mail, so unless you're planning to start a large flock, or you're really interested in rare and unusual varieties, it's probably best to go to your local feed store.
You will look
supply.
Through these catalogs and just be enthralled with all the varieties. I want one of those, and I want
one of those.
But as we say, the best thing to do is go to your local feed store. They're the experts, and they've got the chicks.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we
you can pick
noticed
them out in person.
Just today that the Auburn
Echo
Journal
Valley.
Had an ad that one of the local feed stores have the chicks. It's time.
So this is the perfect time of year if you're planning to get into chicken keeping. And they usually have chicks available for a couple months in the springtime.
But in these last couple years, they go fast because there are so many people interested in backyard chickens. We had trouble, was it last year?
Two years ago. Our last batch of chicks.
Getting chicks. They kept running out.
We called 6 feed stores in the area, and they all said that they were having a hard time keeping them in stock because they were so popular. So be persistent, and you can certainly get a hold of some. But it's tempting to just go crazy and get one of every kind.
Well, okay, you
but
have...
there are some that are...
You've contacted your city, you know what the regulations are, you've built your coop, you've prepared your yard...
Or at least are starting to build your
got
coop.
Got your fencing going, now it's time to go and see what there is at the feed store, and that is fun.
They're so
the
cute. They're just these most wonderful, cuddly little balls of fluff.
They are, but be realistic now. For an average family, say, of 4... you would get more eggs than you could use if you had
four chickens. 4 chickens is probably a good number, 4 to 6 for an average family, if you have some people you can give eggs away to or you'd like to sell a few dozen every week. So for varieties, you'll go to the feed store and just see all of these brooders full of chicks with the varieties labeled on them. Which ones do you pick? Well, there are some that are good for beginners to start out with.
We'd recommend Rhode Island Reds, which is your classic brown chicken, although when you start looking at them, they're not brown.
They're
so
beautiful.
Very beautiful. Rhode Island Reds are a larger chicken. They're very sturdy, and they're moderately heavy layers.
Mm-hmm, quite. Very steady layers. It is important to consider also whether you're going to be keeping chickens for eggs like we do, or if you'd like to keep them for meat as well, and that will help determine the variety that you're choosing. If you'd like chickens just for laying, the star varieties are all good ones to start with because they are what's called a sex-linked chicken. They can be determined easily as chicks what gender they are, so that much decreases your chance of getting a rooster. And you're most likely to, if you buy hens, you'll get hens. They're a lighter weight variety, so they don't eat as much food either, and they're very steady layers.
They lay large eggs for little chickens. They are really good layers, and the eggs are wonderful. Rhode Island Reds, the star, the You will find them as
Gold Star, Red Star.
They're also called sex links because their sex is predetermined. That's another issue with getting chicks. You have a, I believe it's 1 in 10 chance of getting a rooster. They sex them, but it's very difficult to sex chicks. So as they grow, you might find you have a rooster.
You hear little crows coming from your coop.
Or two. and then you have to deal with that rooster. You can...
you can find somebody who is familiar with the ways of nature and farm life and ask them to handle it for you. Or you may be lucky enough to know somebody who would just love to have a rooster on their property.
True, somebody in the country who
it
would
need a rooster.
It does happen. But, you know, we only got a rooster one time.
And he was number 10.
Yeah, that's true. So, anyway, back to the varieties.
Barred rocks are another good variety to start with, sometimes called Plymouth rocks. They have those beautiful checked black and white feathers,
and they're
good layers, medium-sized birds. And, of course, the Americanas, which generally aren't technically... If you buy them from a feed store, you're probably not going to get true Americanas, which are a breed, which would have standards and be more expensive. You'll get what are referred to as Easter eggers, and they're the ones that lay those beautiful green and blue eggs. They're really fun birds. They have a lot of personality, beautiful feathers, and real little characters. So they're another good one to start out with if you'd like to add some color to your egg basket.
Incidentally, there is no difference nutritionally between white and brown eggs, or blue eggs. They all have the same nutrition, and it just kind of matters to you, you know, if you think brown eggs are nicer, then get a chicken with bread earlobes.
Yes, if they have white earlobes, white eggs. Other colors would be brown or blue eggs.
Right.
So if you are looking for a dual-purpose breed, meaning eggs and meat, Rhode Island Red, Plymouth Rock, New Hampshire, Orpington, Wyandotte, those are all good breeds for that. They tend to be larger and heavier, which also makes them hardier in the cold. And you can certainly keep them for just eggs as well. But if you get meat birds that are bred as meat birds, they may not be such good layers.
We're not going to talk about meat birds, though, because all our chickens have names. And once you name them, they are not meat birds.
So if you plan to keep them for meat, don't give them names unless you are really... heartless. Unless you can handle that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, so you've gotten your chicks and you're ready to bring them home. Well, you should have prepared for them. We forgot about that, didn't we, before you bring them home.
Well, you should have some place for them to live, such as a cardboard box. A ring of corrugated cardboard is a good place to keep your chicks. And when they're small, they can't fly, so that you don't need to worry too much about them getting out. We were lucky enough to have a chick brooder in our barn, which is a metal container sort of cage that has a wire mesh floor, a heat lamp, food and water trays, and that was really a great thing. So if you know somebody who has one that you could borrow, by all means ask them if you can. But if not, a simple cardboard box can do the trick. They're really low-tech little critters, so you'll need a heat source for them, such as a light bulb. That'll work just fine.
You need adequate space, protection from predators. That can be your cat or your dog. Protection from moisture. You don't want the little things, they dip into that water dish and spill water, and they get wet, and then they can get sick.
And drafts and cold. Drafts. You want to keep
a reliable heat source, freedom from drafts, as Julie mentioned, and good ventilation. So we can go through these things. And adequate space, we explained. You just need a cardboard box, a ring, something
depending
to contain
on how many chicks. They don't really need much space for the first few days or weeks, but you can, again, check with your chick supplier and find out what they recommend.
Protection from predators. You don't want to keep these little chicks outside yet. They need to be indoors at first. We keep ours in the garage.
It's warm, the steady temperature. If your garage is drafty, or you'd really like to keep an eye on them, especially if they're very young, it's a good idea to put them in your laundry room or kitchen if you can, at least for the first few days or the first week or so.
Which you will have to do if you have animals that come into your garage. Because those are the predators we're talking about with chicks. Protection from moisture, we mentioned. You want to make sure they're dry, that their flooring, whatever your flooring happens to be, isn't covered with water spilled from there.
Cedar shavings, newspaper, something like that. Make sure it's clean and that you change it every day or so, depending on how many chicks you have and how much of a mess they tend to make.
And a reliable source of heat. Chicks don't generate a lot of body heat, and it leaves them pretty quickly, and they need to be kept warm. And the easiest way to do that is with a simple light bulb.
A 60 to 100 watt light bulb raised 18 inches over the box is a good place to start. They need to be about 95 degrees for the first week, and then you'll decrease that by about 5 degrees to 70 degrees in the following weeks, no cooler than 70 degrees. And they will let you know if they're comfortable or not. If they're too cold, you'll find them huddled around the lamp. If they're too hot, they'll be spread to the far corners of their little home.
So they're getting away from the light bulb. Yeah. That's pretty clear. If it's just right, you'll find that they're kind of milling all around their little home.
They'll be where they want to be, not because it's the warm place or the cool place.
You will have to provide them with some food and water.
And these really need to be clean. With water especially, they can be vulnerable to diseases. And if you buy your chicks, chances are they'll be vaccinated for several common diseases. You might want to check on that. But because there are a variety of chick diseases that can be spread by dirty water, you'll need to empty that at least once a day for the first little while they're small. And for food, pick that up while you're getting your chicks, if you're getting them at the feed store. You can get what's generally called chick crumble, which is a small, fine pellet food. And they really don't eat too much for the first, while they're small in any case, so 5 pounds or so should have you set for a few weeks at least.
They don't eat much. We came home from the feed store with our little sack, our little box of chickens and our little sack of food, and this food lasted for, a lunch bag size sack lasted for months. You will also have to have water for them, and you can either purchase a little water tank, the kind you use for cats and dogs, you know, that has a tank you fill with water and it slowly drips out the bottom, or you can just use a little pie pan or something. But if you do that, be sure that you line it with marbles, because the little chicks will be leaning over into the pan to get their drinks and they could fall in and drown. So you want to be sure that there's enough water for them to drink, but that they can't actually get into it.
And they are curious little critters, and you'll find them standing in their water dish and getting up to all kinds of mischief, so that's another reason to keep it good and clean. The food that you start them with may or may not be medicated. Again, because they're so small and their immune systems are pretty vulnerable, it's really not a bad idea to get the medicated or electrolyte-enhanced food and water mixes. But if you're really concerned about having any kind of medications in your chickens, you can find organic and additive-free feeds as well, but then you'll need to be extra careful about keeping things very clean and keeping a close eye on your chickens. But really, because by the time you're eating the eggs, that stuff will be so far out of their systems, they'll only be eating it for a couple weeks.
They really need that protection when they're small. They're so vulnerable, little things, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's good insurance.
And, you know, that brings up the point of, are they going to make it or not? They will. They look so tiny and so helpless, but the rate of chick death is really quite small as long as you just provide them with warmth, food, and water, and you don't let anything get at them, you
mm-hmm.
know.
That's right. And do your research before getting them. Your local library will have books on chicken keeping. You can go online as well. And ask when you purchase the chicks, if you buy them at the feed store, ask for advice. They may have information sheets on getting them off to a good start that will help you to determine if your chicks are healthy and how to keep them so.
And it's all the more reason that you should buy them at the feed store rather than get them from somebody or mail order them. You've got an expert there to talk to. You can ask them questions. They will give you advice. It really makes a difference when you have someone to talk to.
Absolutely, and by all means, do take advantage of that.
Okay, so you've got your chickens, your chicks. They're set up and they're happy in their home and they've grown. They're about how old now when we're going to put them out in the pen?
Well, they'll start laying at about 5 to 6 months, but you'll put them out in the pen before that. A couple months old, probably, when they have their feathers, their combs are starting to show, they can fly, and they will clearly be wanting to explore beyond the confines of their little box. So that'll be time to put them outside. And again, this is when you really need to make sure that your coop is very secure against predators and all manner of curious creatures that may wish to do harm to your chickens.
Yes, we have a friend who has backyard chickens in San Carlos, right in the city, and they've had a lot of fun with them, very good luck with them, but they had one incident where one of their chickens was killed by their own dog. That was the predator. So you need to protect them and be careful.
And even if you don't have a dog, there may be dogs that run loose in the neighborhood. So if there are dogs that regularly get out, you might want to talk to their owners and just mention that you'll be having chickens in your backyard and you want to keep your chickens safe.
So your chickens will start laying at about 5 months?
5 to 6 months.
5 to 6 months. And at first you'll get little tiny eggs. They're really cute. And you think, is this all I'm going to get? But as they continue laying, the eggs grow larger.
Now, at first they may be laying them in some pretty strange places all around their pen, even hiding them. And in order to teach them to lay in those laying boxes, it looks kind of funny, but you can get those little plastic Easter eggs from the grocery store, the ones that you use for egg hunts, and just fill us with a bit of sand or a few pebbles, something like that, to give them some weight. Set them in their nesting boxes, and they will know what to do. They won't be bothered by green and purple eggs.
You can actually buy, if it bothers you, if it does bother you, you can buy glass eggs at the feed store that you use for that purpose. But they need something to give them the notion that that's what happens in that box.
And I've heard even a golf ball will work. I haven't tried it, but they aren't too particular, I don't think.
No, I think plastic eggs or glass eggs are nice.
The plastic eggs are fun, too, because when people come and visit your chicken coop, they go, look at that purple egg.
Did they lay those?
So when they're outside in the pen, you'll be letting them out to forage, and you'll, of course, need to keep them out of your garden. That's another important thing to remember. If you do have a garden or landscaping, they don't understand that that's off limits. You can teach them by squirting them with the hose or chasing them, but it's best to just play it safe and fence off the areas that you don't want the chickens getting into, because they also need to take dust baths. And you'll see them out there just digging right up to their necks in the ground, fluffing dirt all over the place. So make sure that they do have a place for their dust baths, because that keeps them free of predators. So if when your chickens are older and they're outdoors, there are, you know, chicken diseases that may come down the pike. Fortunately, we haven't had anything serious come along. We have had a little bit of picking by the other birds. They may kind of gang up on one of their flock. And in that case, it's nice to have a little section of your chicken house you can fence off, or some kind of other enclosure if you need to isolate a bird. That comes in very handy. But really, they're pretty tough, and they take care of themselves.
The term pecking order is not just a saying. It's absolutely true. And they will develop their pecking order, and you'll see it happening. Especially if you go in the coop at night and watch them while they sleep.
Mm-hmm.
They've got their places on those perches, which you usually have arranged 1, 2, 3. You'll have 3 perches across. The dominant ones are on the top and the other ones aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way they behave when they're eating, when they're sleeping.
One of our chickens, Red, actually stands by the doorway at night and sort of guards it while the little barred rocks are all trying to get inside. She'll stand there and she'll nip at them until it gets dark, so they're always the ones that are last into the house. But they all get along. They figure things out themselves. And they're really pretty cool and flexible. So, again, just to recap, in order to have healthy, happy chickens, you need to give them plenty of space. They need light and air. The light inside the house and air circulation is very important. They'll need warmth, protection from drafts and predators, access to the outdoors, proper food and clean water, and that should really be about it. A little space to run around and forage, and they should be quite content.
And you cannot imagine how entertaining they are. You will spend hours just watching your chickens. They're the sweetest things to have around. Completely blows the image of the stupid animal that people say they are.
Absolutely. They're such fun. You know, give them names. They make great pets. They're quite good around children. Kids love them.
They all have personalities. They're mm-hmm. They're sweet. They're a nice addition to your home.
So if you'd like to give us a call, we'll break for a little bit of music here. The number in the studio is 265-9555 or 1-800-355-KVMR.
Thank you.
Wow, we had a lot of phone calls, and we're sorry we couldn't get to all of them, but thank you for your calls, and it seems like you're enjoying the program.
And so are we. We're having a great time here sharing with you our chicken experience.
We're going to have to make more time for call-ins, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, we will have resources up online. A number of people called in for suggestions for keeping chicks, other resources that may be of interest to listeners who are considering getting chickens. And we will have a program page up on kvmr.org. If you click on the program schedule and scroll down to Wednesday, it should be up there shortly. In the meantime, also, you can find a link to that at our ranch blog at bhranch.blogspot.com. That's the Bornakis Harper Ranch at bhranch.blogspot.com.
And quickly, we can refer you to some resources. Before you get the chickens, you might want to go to the library. We know the Auburn Library and the Nevada County Library all have a good collection of books about chickens. Get them, read up on them, and you'll find it's a lot easier than it might sound to have the chickens. Also, you can go to your, as we mentioned, your local feed store. They are experts in what they sell, and they'll tell you about what kinds of chickens might be right for you and gives you some tips on how to keep them, especially the chicks themselves when you first get them. And you can also contact your local agricultural extension through the county. They often have pamphlets and brochures and handouts that you can get from them about keeping chickens.
All good resources, and it really is important to do your homework before getting chickens, because remember, these are little live animals. They need your love, your care, and also your understanding of what it takes to keep them healthy and happy.
They're not just, you know, the little things you see in Easter baskets that people discard after Easter, which was a horrible,
horrible
practice, by the way, which I don't think they do anymore. But they are just, they're so rewarding. You will never regret having chickens, believe us.
And you'll never go back to store-bought eggs, guaranteed. They're pale by comparison. Well, we are looking forward to our next Homestead Radio Hour.
We hope that you've enjoyed this one, and in the future we plan to be talking about subjects such as backyard beekeeping, which I think will probably be our next subject.
Another good spring theme. And if you are interested in backyard beekeeping at all and having your own bees, or you're just curious about bees and their secret life, the Nevada County Beekeepers Association is having a class in beekeeping. The first meeting is this Monday, March 1st at 7 p.m., and those take place at
the Grass Valley Veterans Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And this class is a remarkable resource. It's taught by a world-renowned expert who lives here in Nevada County, Randy Oliver. The first class will actually be this meeting, so if you're interested, you should think about...
Come by, drop by, and check it out and see if it's something that sounds like what you might be interested in. It also features two sessions in Randy's bee yard, hands-on, if you decide to continue with the class. And it's really great for families, for all ages. It gives you a good understanding of bees. Whether or not you want to keep your own is up to you, but it's a great resource that we would like to let you know about.
We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope to be doing some more shows in the future.
That's right, and if you'd like to drop us a note, you can email us at bhranch@gmail.com or visit our website, bhranch.net, and you can find links to our blog and contact information there.
Let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear about in the future. And we're going to leave you with a wonderful chicken song.
This really sums it up. Buck Howdy with BB. Here you go. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For listening.
Secret. Right.